Today's Torah reading is one of the most messianic chapters. Chapter Vayera, he appeared. Through the example of Abraham and Lot, today's Torah chapter shows us what should be our top priority in our life and what happens if we don't have the proper foundation of faith. Abraham's main priority was the Lord and his will. Even when it was not beneficial to Abraham, he always tried to choose the side of God. Of course, like you and me, Abraham was not perfect, and he made many mistakes that cost him dearly. So let's remember the story of Abraham. The Lord called Abraham out of his home to become a stranger in the land of Canaan, where he built altars as places of worship to God. His nephew Lot went with him, and I think that it was very important for Abraham that someone from his own family was ready to support his calling, share all the hardships of the path, and serve God. Abraham was delighted that his nephew was also striving to follow and serve the Lord. Can you imagine a blessing to have such a relative, such support as Lot was? And thus, they served many years in tandem with the Lord. When they left Egypt, Abraham and Lot were very rich. Let us open Genesis chapter 13 and let us read verse 6 and verse 7. Genesis 13, 6 and 7. How rich they were. So that the land could not support them living together, because their possessions were many, and they were not able to stay together. So there was a quarrel between the shepherds of Abraham's livestock and the shepherds of Lot's livestock. In my opinion, I think it is my opinion, something happened in Lot's heart. Most likely, he was finished with the life of being a stranger, the life of a servant of God. We see that he allowed his shepherds to quarrel with Abraham's shepherds, and he left Abraham and settled in a godless and corrupt city. And even after God spared Lot from the destruction of Sodom, he still did not reunite with Abraham. Instead, he went in an opposite direction from Abraham. Also, we see that Abraham acted as a great man of God. He showed terrific humility, allowed himself to be humiliated in the eyes of people, and did not fight with his nephew. Abraham left Lot to choose the best land, any place for habitation and pasture. And let us read Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 through verse 12. It is the story. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between me and you, or between my shepherds and yours, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Please, separate yourself from me. If to the left, then I'll go to the right. And if to the right, then I'll go to the left." Lot lifted his eyes and saw that the whole area surrounding the Jordan was well watered in its entirety, before Adonai destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like Adonai's garden, like the land of Egypt, till you come to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself the whole area surrounding the Jordan. Lot journeyed to the east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the valley. And he moved his tent from place to place near Sodom. What a story. Although Abraham had every right to humiliate Lot because he was the elder in the family, and Lot joined his calling and followed him, But we see that Abraham valued the calling of God above all. At the same time, Lot began to put his trust in his wealth and his flocks. And so they split up. Lot chose to be to the best land and prosperous cities to live in, and he settled in Sodom. At that time, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were at the intersection of trade roads and were mega cities, very prosperous cities. So if someone was looking for fame, fortune, and to move among beautiful people, Sodom is where you would want to go. Abraham chose God's will and continued to wander from place to place, building altars and serving God. It was not easy for Abraham, I think so, to see how his relative, who served with him for many years, decided to live the life of a minister, departed from his calling, and devoted himself only to seek a life of comfort and excess. I believe with all my heart that Abraham saw that the Lord was spiritually blind at that moment and intended living God's will, which would lead to dire consequences for him. But he could no longer help Lot because Lot was hardened by sin and began to take wrong and unreasonable steps. He chose to settle in the most depraved place on earth, in Sodom. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3. This is a warning for us. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through verse 14. It is a very interesting place. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil heart of unbelief that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day by day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Messiah if we hold our original conviction firm until the end. You see, in order to receive the promised blessing, there is one crucial condition. If we hold our original conviction firm until the end. Until the end. This is the key. Later we can read the sad story of Lot, a righteous man, a man of God, a minister who traded his calling for a false hope of wealth and success. And it's very simple. Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. But the people of Sodom were evil, very great sinners against Adonai. And Lot chose to live in Sodom, which is an awful decision. So let's look at what happened next in the lives of Abraham and life of Lot. First, let's take a look at Abraham. After such a difficult parting and conflict, and immediately after losing a relative and co-worker in the Lord, Abraham built an altar in Hebron. This was the place where he laid his will on the altar because it was a difficult decision for him. I believe when Abraham was building this place of worship, he experienced a lot of heavy feelings and spiritual attacks. Maybe he asked himself, what am I doing? Perhaps Lot was right. Maybe I'm doing something wrong and it is time to stop. Because Abraham was the man. I believe he was also under such a difficult time. You remember that Abraham still did not have a son at that time. It would seem that nothing good has come to Abraham, and even his partner in the ministry left him. What an attack on him. But Abraham built an altar no matter what. And now let's notice what kind of altar was built and where it was built. It is very important to understand where it was built and in this difficult time. So let us read Genesis 13, verse 18. And please remember this verse. It is a key verse for today. Abram moved his tent and came to live by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. There he built an altar to Adonai. So, by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. So please remember this place. It is a very important place for today. At that moment, when Abraham built an altar, he could not even imagine or comprehend that much, much later, in chapter 18, today's Torah portion, he will meet the Lord at this very place and receive the promise of the birth of a son at the same place. This altar will become the place of Abraham's greatest joy. This altar of sorrow will become the altar of joy. How interesting that when we choose to serve God, we are preparing the place of our blessing. And who knows what surprises from the Lord await you when you faithfully serve Him and follow Him, especially in difficult times. So let's read a passage from today's Torah chapter, and let's open Genesis chapter 18. It is a great place of scripture. So do you remember where the Abraham built an altar? So let's just read Genesis verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1 through 22. Adonai appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. It is the very place where Abraham built an altar in chapter 13. As he sat at the entrance to the tent during the heat of the day, he raised his eyes and looked, and there in front of him stood three men. On seeing them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, prostrated himself on the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please don't leave your servant." There are two famous commentaries on these verses. The first commentaries. Some Bible commentators claim that Abraham saw three strangers walking by and ran and bowed down to them to the ground because it was an ancient custom. The second commentators claim that angels came to Abraham and therefore he worshipped them. He worshipped angels. Of course, as Messianic believers, we understand that this is not true. We will not find anywhere in the Bible that the Lord encourages worship of people or that someone addressing a person called him the Lord, Adonai. We see in scripture that even the angels forbade people to worship them. Let us read one verse, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, only one verse. And let us see how angels respond on worship to him. Revelation 19, 10. Then I fell down at his feet and worshipped him. So it's John worshiping to angel. But he, angel, said to me, "See that you do not do that. For I am only a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters." Do not do that. Do not worship angels. Never do that. Therefore, the idea that Abraham fell on his face and worshipped people or angels, and even more so, called them Adonai, the Lord, is not biblical and wrong. This is not true. So, let's repeat this passage from the Torah, verse by verse, relying only on the text. Let us reread it. So Genesis chapter 18, and let us read verse by verse. Verse 1. Then Adonai appeared to him, Vayera Elav Yahweh, or this name of the Lord. Not a man, not an angel, the Lord. The Lord appeared to him, to Abraham. Verse 3, then he said, "My Lord," Vayomar Adonai, "My Lord." In the third verse, Abraham, referring to one of the three strangers, calls him Adonai, the Lord. When he took let us read from verse 8 right now. Then he took butter and milk and the young ox that he had prepared and set it before them. While he was standing by them under the tree, they ate. Verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" "There in the tent," he said. Then he said, "I will most surely return to you in about a year's time, surprisingly. Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah had stopped having the way of woman. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I've grown decrepit, can I have desire? And my Lord's so old." Then Adonai, and again Adonai the Lord, Yahweh, said to Abraham, "Why it is that Sarah laughed, saying, 'Can I really give birth that I'm so old?' Is anything too difficult for Adonai? At the appointed time, I will return to you in about a year, and Sarah will have a son." Then the man turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham was still standing before Adonai. Again, Adonai, before the Lord. In other words, two angels left to Sodom, and Abraham remained in front of the third one, which is called the Lord in the Torah. We know that two angels came to Lot in the next chapter, chapter 19, verse 1. We can read this very simple message. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, but Abraham remained in the presence of the Lord. And verse 25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to cause the righteous to die with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked share the same fate. Far be it from you. Shall the judge of the whole world not exercise justice?" I have a question. Who is the judge of all the earth? Only the Lord. A person, or even an angel, cannot be the judge of the world. It's impossible. And finally, an exciting end to this chapter. Verse 33, chapter 18. Now, when he had finished speaking to Abraham, Adonai left, the Lord left, and Abraham returned to his place. So the Lord himself came to Abraham, ate in his house, gave the word to Sarah that she would have a son, renewed their bodies so that she could give birth, and made Sarah so beautiful that Abimelech, the king of Gerar, wanted to marry her in the next chapters. I have a question. Why do you think Abraham recognized the Lord and ran to meet him and worship him? It is a very interesting question. If you remember, in the last chapter from the Torah, last week chapter, if you remember, it was said about Melchizedek and who he was and how Abraham received a blessing from Melchizedek, king of Salem, and gave him tithe of everything. And remember, Melchizedek in Hebrew is king of righteousness. And king of shalom means in Hebrew king of shalom, of peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. If you wonder who was the Melchizedek, king of shalom. Isaiah 9, chapter 5. Chapter 9, verse 5. To us, For to us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, My Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. It is the name, it is the title of Messiah, King of Shalom, or Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. So the King of Righteousness, King of Shalom, came to Abraham for the second time. And Abraham recognized him and ran to worship him, because he recognized him. Someone might ask me how Abraham could see God, who is the Spirit and who dwells in the heavens of heaven. So we can find the answer in Book of John, chapter 1. Book of John, Yohanan, chapter 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the only and unique Son, who is identical with God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Abraham met face to face with Yeshua, with Messiah, whom the Torah calls Adonai, the Lord. We see the divine nature of the Messiah in this Torah chapter. Yeshua himself tells us about his meeting with Abraham. And let us open John chapter 8, verse 56 through 59. This is a very interesting place of scripture when Yeshua tells about his meeting with Abraham. John 8, 56, 59. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was thrilled. Then the Judean said to him, You are not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham. Yeshua answered, Amen, true. Amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they picked up stones to throw at him, but Yeshua hid himself and went out from the temple. So, verse 56 again. The father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What is the day? When he saw Yeshua's day. He saw it and was thrilled. He rejoiced. He was joyful. When it was? When did Abraham see Yeshua and rejoice? Of course, in today's Torah chapter, in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, we see the meeting of Abraham and Yeshua, the Messiah. The second question, why did Abraham rejoice? Because he met the Messiah, and also from the fact that he will have a son. Do you remember the name of his son? Of course, Isaac. Laughter, joy, fun, love. Abraham rejoiced because he received the promised son, and even his name was love, laughter. And third question, why did the crowd want to stone Yeshua? Why? What was the reason? Let us read verse 58 again. Yeshua answered, Amen, amen, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. Let us say together, I am. Because in verse 58, Yeshua called himself, I am. The first time we found this name in the Bible is in Exodus 3, verse 14. 3:14 Exodus. God answered Moses, I am who I am. Then he said, You are to say to Bnei Israel, I am has sent me to you. Imagine the Lord Yeshua speaking to the crowd around him says to them, Before Abraham was born, I am. Abraham saw me, and I am the Lord who came to him and gave him Isaac. You are stand before me here because I was there. I created you. I gave the word to Abraham. And you know what? When you read this chapter carefully, again, chapter 8, John, chapter 8, Yohanan, chapter 8, verse 56 through 59, if you read carefully, you see that they completely understood what he was talking about, because they knew what was written in the 18th chapter from the Torah of Bereshit Genesis, and therefore could not answer him anything except one thing: to stone him, because he called himself, "I am the Lord." In the end, let's take a very brief look at Lot's life. It seemed to him that when he left Abraham and his ministry, his life would improve and he would become successful. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8, it is a great place of scripture to remember, to always remember. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also shall reap. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows in the Ruach will reap from the Ruach, spirit, eternal life. All Lot's wealth and flocks were destroyed with Sodom. Everything that was so important for him, even his wife, who left Sodom to save her life, decided to turn back and died, turning into a pillar of salt. In old age, Lot's two daughters became pregnant by him, having given birth to two sons, Ammon and Moab, from whom the Ammonites and Moabites, the enemies of Israel, later descended. What a sad story of the man of God, whom the Bible calls righteous. He was a righteous man who left the calling of the Lord, decided to put his trust in his richness. And what an excellent path Abraham had, who despite the difficult trials built an altar to God and many years later met the Messiah and at this altar and received what he had been waiting for, the son, at the very same place, altar to the Lord. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yevarecha ha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.